Hey, welcome to Belmont. I'm Pastor John. So good to be here with you this morning. Hey, you know, I was backing out of my driveway this morning, and I'm trying not to get hit by oncoming traffic. And my son Levi, he's really paying attention. He's actually looking in the mirror there in front of him, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, I'm pretty sure I got a mustache going on right now." And I'm like, "Oh, no, my baby boy is growing up." I'm always telling my son Levi, you know, I say this from the bottom of my heart. You're my favorite son. And he says, "Dad, you know I'm your only son." I'm like, "Well, even if you weren't." So Christy and I have four kids, and all four of them are just growing faster than you would believe. In fact, Nora is our third born. She's turning 9 on March the 9th, which is just in a few days. And so we're excited about that and seeing them grow up. And so, you know, not everybody that grows old grows up, right? Not everybody that gets older grows on to maturity. And so we're sending some things their way to make them mature, to make them grow up, because we realize part of our goal as parents, part of our responsibility, is to make sure that by the time they're 16 and they move out of the house, we're lowering the bar there. All right, 18. We'll go with 18. By the time they're 18 and they're moving out of the house, man, we want them to be ready and to be prepared. And so we're just stacking on the chores, you know what I'm saying? The trials and the tribulations of, hey, you know what? You're all taking turns and you're unloading the dishwasher. Hey, it's time to clean the room. Hey, it's time to reshingle the roof. Hey, you know, whatever it needs to be. And so they don't always receive that really well, right? Like, oh, man, why? You know, I'm a kid. Shouldn't I just be a kid? I'm like, nope. It's time to grow up. It's time to learn how to do some stuff. So grow up, like Levi's 12, he already washes his own clothes. And so I just want my kids to know when it's time to get out, they know exactly what to do in the real world. And so spiritually speaking, we want the same thing for folks here at Belmont. You know, we say that Belmont is created. Belmont is here to help people be who God created them to be. And so we want to make sure that we are taking the right steps so that people can grow to spiritual maturity in Christ. And so that's part of the reason that we're going to be going through the book of James over the next 5 Sundays. And we are going to be encouraging everybody to take the challenge, that is the 20-minute challenge for a daily encounter with Jesus. So if you'll reach right around you, grab one of these books that's right around you. This is just a really simple way for you to be in God's Word over the next month. So today's March 1, and so there's 31 days in this month. Man, we want to encourage you that for all 31 days that you would be in God's Word for 20 minutes a day. And you know what? We've only got 28 days listed in this. That's because we know we're going to mess up, right? There's going to be a day where you're not feeling good, or you forget, or, you know, life happens quick and you don't know what's going on. And so we just want you to take this. It's kind of self-explanatory, using the SOAP Bible study method of scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And so if you do that, you can go through every single verse in the book of James. And that'll help you in two ways. One, it'll help you to establish a daily routine of spending time with Jesus. But also, because of what is in the book, the really good stuff that James is throwing out, in fact, really the main emphasis of the book is on spiritual growth, that you would grow up because of the things that you're learning in there. And so today we're going to be jumping into the series in James chapter 1. And we're going to be teaching a message called A Mature Response to Trouble. A Mature Response to Trouble. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving us your word. Lord, for sending things our way that cause us to grow up, things that aren't always pleasant. But Lord, we know that you are working all those things together for good. And God, we pray that as we go through this study today and as we go through this series this month, that we as your people would be diligent to have a faith that works, a faith that we put into practice. And Lord, we pray that through your grace, that we would grow up more in you, that we would get to the end of this month and look back and realize that we've made some gains spiritually, that we've seen an increase in our walk with you, And we pray that this would not be just individually, but it would also be for us all together as a church. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. So James chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 4 today. And it really starts out by saying this. This letter is from James, right? This letter is from James. James here, the James that wrote this book, is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And so he announces himself. He's now the leader at the church in Jerusalem. He's a man that holds a high position, who has a good amount of power, and he's writing this letter out to the church, and he says, hey, what's up, guys? My name is James. And then he goes on to say this, I am a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, James is showing his maturity here because he could have started out saying, what's up, guys? James, the half-brother of Jesus. You've probably heard of me. And he has the spiritual maturity not to do that, because some of us who maybe would be more immature would like to drop a few names and to make sure people knew who we were and to make ourselves look good. But instead, what James does is he says, you know, guys, let's be honest. I'm a slave, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am writing to the 12 tribes, to the dispersion, to the Jewish believers scattered abroad. So he's letting us know that he is writing to Jewish believers who have been scattered across the Roman Empire for various reasons. You know, they were in the land of Israel. The Roman Empire came and took over most of the planet at that point in time. And so the Jewish believers had been scattered, one, for that reason, but two, because of the tribulation that had started after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. You remember Stephen was martyred, and after that, there just broke out just these trials against the church, and so people scattered because of those things. And so he is writing to those people to encourage them, because he's heard a few things about what's been going on in the life of the church. And it's easy to get into situations where you've been scattered, where you had to move on, where situations have changed and things aren't what they used to be. And then you can kind of get just settled into a routine of religion where things aren't really growing and maturing the way that they should. Instead, sometimes it's just easier to keep quiet and not to experience growth, because growth takes a little bit of pain. And so what we want to do is we want to take a closer look at verses 2, 3, and 4. And today I'm going to try to do something a little different. I'm going to try to both preach a message to you and also at the same time walk through day one of your book. So if you'll turn to page 4 here, day 1, you'll see the verses that we're going to cover in this sermon at the top of that page. And then you will be able to follow along and see exactly how to do that this week in your own life and in your own quiet time with the Lord. And so I'm going to do this verse by verse. We'll do it verse 2, then we'll do it verse 3, then we'll do it verse 4. So what is a mature response to trouble? What do you do when trouble comes your way? This is what James is going to tackle right out of the gate. You know, if I was writing this book, I probably would have pushed it closer to the end of the book, right? Kind of open up a little bit softer, a little bit kinder, a little bit, you know, hey, let's do something that's more of a softball pitch up front, and then later on we'll get to the heavy stuff. Well, he just comes out right out with the heavy right off the top. Hey, let's talk about troubles that are going to come your way. And so here he goes. He says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. All right, seriously, come on. Consider it an opportunity for joy when troubles come your way. Well, here's what's going on is that these guys are being persecuted. They've been scattered. And because of the anti-Semitism in Rome, Jewish people would not have received a warm welcome wherever they went throughout the kingdom. But they were in a unique situation because they were also Jewish Christians. And so even amongst their own people, they would not have been accepted either, because they were now saying that this Jesus that has come and that gave his life and that rose again 3 days later, he is the Messiah that we have been waiting for. And because of that, they have now been rejected even by their own people. And so they are facing hardships because of the stance that they've taken, both financially, physically, emotionally, relationally, across all aspects of their life. They're beginning to feel the pain of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Word got back to James, and he's writing to give them some instruction and some encouragement and some direction and some commands. Really, there are actually 54 imperatives in the book of James, and there's 108 verses in the book of James. So like every other verse, you could say, is a command. It's James telling us what to do, and so it's just really straightforward. And so when we look at verse 2, and he says that, brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, what are some observations that we could take out of this verse? Well, here's an observation for you. He uses the word when, right? When trouble comes your way. Here's an observation if you want to write this down. Trouble is coming my way. Trouble is gonna happen. You see, there's a guy that's traveling around. His name is Professor Trouble. And he knows where you live, and he's got your address. And he is going to show up and knock on your door one day. You might be here and say, Pastor, he already showed up last week, and he won't go away. You know, Professor Trouble shows up, and he's got a briefcase with him, and he's got all kinds of troubles with him. Because troubles are not an elective in life. Troubles are a requirement in the school of maturity. And so we have to be willing when the professor shows up to say, uh-oh, this guy has all kinds, like various kinds of troubles that might come my way. And the Lord knows that as part of our maturity, as part of our growing up, that these troubles must come. When troubles come, what are we going to do? Well, one thing we can do right away is just realize that they are going to come. You see, a mature view on life says this, that I'm not going to be immature and just be indignant and be distraught every time something happens that I didn't expect or that I wasn't wanting to happen. But a lot of times that does happen. A lot of times what happens is that we get into a rut or a mindset where every time any little thing happens, our automatic response is just, what? Why me? Why did this happen? Why didn't it go this way? That's not what I planned. That's not what I wanted. What? Well, why would they do this to me? Or why would God let this happen? And we just have this automatic 10 questions that we begin to throw out there of why this should not be happening to you and to me. And instead, what we need to do in a mature way is to think differently about this situation. In fact, that's what James goes on to say next. He says, consider it joy, right? When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. So here's a command to wrap your head around. And it's really what James is saying here is he's saying this, guys. Get your head on straight. Think rightly about this situation. So when these troubles come, you want to already have your head on straight and know exactly what it is that how you should respond. And you should consider it joy. So consider here in the Greek is a word called hegomai. And it means to lead and then to consider. So the picture here is one of somebody that's leading his or her mind through a reasoning process to arrive at a conclusion. It's considering that involves careful thought, not a quick decision. It involves a conscious judgment resting on deliberate weighing of the facts. Consider it joy. So he's not just saying, grin and bear it. He's not just saying, hey, troubles are going to come. Just smile, kind of get through it. But he's saying this, carefully weigh out the situation. And then the mature person, what they will do is after they have thought through the trials and the tribulation, the news that they have received, the mature person will decide to frame it in such a way that it is joyful, because this is an opportunity for growth, for maturity. If you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, value looking like Christ more than we value the comfort of this world, then when discomfort comes, we won't get so bent out of shape. Instead, what we will see is that, yes, I did not want this to happen. This is not what I had planned. This is not what I would have picked. But you know what? The greatest desire of my life is to look more like my Savior, Jesus Christ. And even though this is going to cause me to be more patient and more resilient, I'm going to deal with it, and it's going to make sure that I don't do some of the things that I wanted to do. Instead, I'm going to have to do these things. And along the way, what's going to happen is that you are going to change. Or if you're not willing to change, you're going to stay right in that same cycle over and over again until you learn the lesson that God is trying to teach you. The truth is this, is that trouble and weakness expose what has been true all along, that we are totally dependent on God for everything. You know, we can joke around a little bit about trials and troubles, and we sometimes joke around about a simple trouble like getting cut off in traffic. But the fact is that that's just a little thing in life. A lot of times there's going to be things that come your way in life that rock your world, that shake you up, that from the ground up, they just make you rethink everything in your whole entire life. And our first response when those things happen is to cling on to everything we know, because not only is that situation changing, and not only is that problem causing us to have to deal with that problem, but there's an interesting thing that happens, because it then begins to make us to rethink everything in life, because that thing that we've put our identity in, that thing that we've held on to so much, let's say it's your physical health. If your physical health begins to go and you've put so much pride or effort into your health, when God takes that away from you, you then begin to realize the pride perhaps that was wrapped up in that thing that you were doing or that person who you saw yourself as. But I tell you this, physical failing is coming to all of us, right? Time is pulling us through, and we are all getting a little bit older every single day. And so the things that we used to be able to do, eventually we won't be able to do anymore. And so who you see yourself as, your identity, is going to have to change as you grow and as you mature in Christ. So what is an application that we can use from these observations? Well, one application is just what we've already said, that trouble is coming, so I need to get ready. I need to be prepared. I need to make sure that I'm going to consider it joy when trouble comes. So what kind of mental response are we practicing right now? So if your troubles are not too bad right now, you could be practicing a bad response and it's really not hurting you that bad. But when something truly heartbreaking comes along, that same petty, immature response just won't do. And so what we need to do is have a deeper response ready, a response that's grounded in the Scriptures, a response that says, I know that God is in control, that God is gracious, that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord, that God understands that this life is temporary, that my greatest problem as a Christian has already been taken care of. My greatest problem of being away from God and out of relationship with Him, that has been taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now that I'm in a relationship with Him, I know that my eternity is secure in Him. And I don't have to worry about that. And this pain that I'm going through, this trouble that I'm going through right now, yeah, it's not pleasant. But I know that God is taking me through the fire, and He's shaping me and refining me and forming me into the person who I need to be. And yeah, it's not what I would have picked, and it never is what we would have picked, right? It's always something that's tough. It's always something that's hard. But what we have to do is have a ready response for what is coming. And so as I was thinking through this week, I actually came up with my application for this daily encounter, which was the application that I'm going to have a spiritually mature script or prayer to replace my immature thoughts. So James is giving them one, right? Consider it joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds. And so here's the script I came up with. Not how I hoped things would go, joyful for the chance to grow. Kind of corny, right? That's the corniest I could come up with. It's, you know, I'm good on dad jokes, and I'm good on corny little sayings. So I'm going to make you say it with me. How about that? So repeat after me. Not how I hoped things would go. Joyful for the chance to grow. So when it happens, and those kids get on your last nerve, and you want to go storming up those stairs and say something about it, what are you going to say instead? Not what? You guys are terrible. You guys are not going to pass the test. Yeah. Yeah. Man, let me get back to my notes here, guys. Not how I hoped things would go, joyful for the chance to grow. You know, I was actually saying this morning. This is an embarrassing indictment on your pastor. But this morning I was downstairs at my house praying. And I was in my living room by my couch. And was having what I thought was a good time with Jesus. And then I heard my 12-year-old son upstairs beginning to rustle. And this is like 6:30 in the morning, right? And so I'm praying, and I hear him getting ready, and I hear him coming downstairs, and Levi is not a ninja. He is not a ballerina. This is a big, strong dude. And so he's coming down the stairs, and you know a warrior is coming down the stairs, right? And I actually got frustrated in my heart. Like, I'm trying to spend time with the Lord. What is wrong with this guy? And I'm like, Lord, what is wrong with me? Not how I wanted things to go. In my mind, I had envisioned that it was going to be me and the Lord for a longer extended period of time, right? And then I actually got frustrated when my favorite son started coming downstairs and came into the living room. And he didn't interrupt me. He didn't stop me. But it was just my own hang-up that somebody was there and I wasn't alone anymore. And I'm like, not how I thought things would go, but Lord was growing me through that. Because I was like, what is wrong with me that my son is up at 6:30 in the morning ready to go to church? I should be happy for that, right? Instead, you guys are not as petty as me, right? That you'd never be that petty against someone that lives in your house. But sometimes the whole world, when it revolves around us, even in a small thing, we get frustrated or bent out of shape or indignant at people who would dare intrude on our life. But God is saying these interruptions are divine interruptions that I'm using to shape your character and to shape who you are. John, you're too proud. You're impatient. You need to learn these things. You need to have four kids living in your house so you can learn that the world does not revolve around you and that you are not in control as you think you are. So a mature response to trouble is to get your head on straight, to think rightly about these things. But a mature response to trouble is also to push through the pain, right? Push through the pain. Verse 3 says this, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." And then verse 4, "So let it grow. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." So James is unpacking this a little bit more for the Jewish Christians that he's writing to who are scattered around the Roman Empire. And he's already told them, think about trouble in this way, that when it comes, you should think through it rightly, correctly, maturely, and you should frame it in your mind as a joyful thing because it's going to cause you to grow. And you know, more knowledge here, right? More mental stuff happening here, that when your faith is tested, this faith that you now hold in your heart about the Lord Jesus Christ, when it is tested, guess what? Your endurance has a chance to grow. So he's going kind of from the idea of it more into the practice of it and saying, hey, once you get into it, into this trouble, into this trial, into this test, your endurance is going to have a chance to grow. So let it grow. Let it change you. What observations can we make from this? That you know this in your mind, you know, right? He says, you know that when your faith is tested. So we know this in our theology and in our doctrine that God is in control and that he uses trouble to change us. But when it actually happens and it takes a little bit of endurance and a little bit of struggle and a little bit of pain, and we begin to feel the burn, it's easy to bail out and to quit too quickly. And he's saying, no, don't do that. Push through the pain. Don't give up. Because when your faith is tested, then you're going to grow. It's been said that a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. I heard an analogy this week about a guy who went out and bought a new raincoat, and he wore this raincoat all over town when it was sunny outside. And he trusted that this raincoat was going to keep him dry. But was that really a test for the raincoat? That wasn't a test at all, because the coat was made for the rain. So the only true way to test out a raincoat is actually to go out in the rain and to see if it'll keep you dry. In the same way, a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. You know, it's when in the trial and in the troubles that your faith, you can see if your faith is real or if it's fake. You can see if your faith has what it takes, if your faith is authentic or not. Because if you quit and you give up on your faith as soon as temptation comes or as soon as trials come, then there's a good chance that your faith cannot be trusted and that your faith was not authentic in the first place. And James is encouraging these people to, instead of doing that, to endure, to be who they were created to be, to exercise their faith so that they can grow to maturity. And so I've got a friend named DJ who is a part of our church here, and he's somewhat of a philosopher, you could say, because DJ goes up to the YMCA, and I get there a little bit earlier than he does, and one day I made the mistake of hanging out too long and getting caught up in the vortex of DJ Ross. And I don't know if you've seen DJ, but he's about as big as that sound booth back there. I mean, this dude is jacked. And it's no accident that he looks like that, because the guy lifts like the whole YMCA. He's out in the parking lot lifting cars. While you're inside working out, he's lifting your car. So I stayed around and I hung out and I thought I was chit-chatting. And he says, hey, why don't you work out with me for a little while? I'm like, all right, that sounds good. He's like, here's my philosophy. If it ain't hurting, it ain't working. And I'm like, I got to go. I'll see you later. No, I stuck around, and then it hurt. It hurt later. But that philosophy is true when you're working out, that there's some pain of endurance. I've never run a marathon, but I've heard that it can be tough, that there's some endurance that's required, that there's a little bit of pain that comes at the end of the race especially, but even before the race is over, there's some things that are going to come along that are going to hurt, and your joint is going to start to hurt, and then your mind is going to start to go, and it's going to try to start to talk you out of doing what you're doing, and it's going to try to tell you to give up and to not finish and to quit and to say it's not worth it and to justify it. And the same thing is true spiritually speaking, that when times get hard, it's so easy for us to talk ourselves out of doing what we know we should do And instead of holding fast, it's so easy to give up. But James says here, let it grow. Let it grow. Don't give up. Instead, endure, and you will get the results that you desire, which is spiritual growth. And so we need to be able to push through the pain. You know, we heard in Philippians chapter 3 last week, and I'll read it to you again this week. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says this. Well, I'll start in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. I don't give up. I don't quit. I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so James is saying, push through the pain. Get your head on straight. Think about pain and trouble correctly. And then when it comes, when the knock comes at your door and the professor of pain is standing there and he comes on in and you can't keep him out, then you just realize that the Lord is not unaware of your painful, troubling situation, and that he will be there to walk through that situation with you. And in that pain and in that trial, the things that he wants to get rid of in your life, if you're willing to endure the pain and not to run away like a child, but to stay and endure and hear the thing that you need to hear and grow through it, then on the other side of that, you will become an adult. You will become mature. You can grow up. The third thing that I want us to see out of this passage is this. Keep your eye on the prize. Verse 4 says this. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So James directs their attention to the goal, right? He's already told them, get your head on straight. Think rightly about troubles and trials because they're going to come. And then when they do come, I want you to endure. I want you to hang in there. I want you to push through the pain, even though it seems like you should just give up and you should just quit. And the reason that you can do all of this is that you keep your eye on the prize. It's so easy in the midst of that marathon, for instance, to just focus on that toe that started to hurt for no reason at all, and to think that that is the biggest trouble in the world. But James has given them some advice here that they should keep their eye on the prize, that they should remember what it is that they're going for, that their endurance would be fully developed, because after that, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, when he says perfect, he doesn't mean that they will be sinless. This is a word here meaning that they will be mature, that they'll be whole, they'll be complete, and they won't be lacking anything. The truth is that every single person in this room is lacking something to help you to be a rounded out believer in Jesus Christ. Nobody here has it all together. Even the Apostle Paul, who we just read, said, I don't think I've got it all together. I have not arrived. I'm not where I need to be. Is anybody here saying, hey, I'm perfect and complete? Come on, one person. On the inside, you're raising your hand, I know. Well, I'm pretty close, Pastor. But I'm so humble, I'm not going to raise my hand. That's good. That is good. I mean, I've got more humility in my little pinky than most people have in their whole body. So I'm not going to raise my hand. Now, we all have issues that we struggle with, right? Let's be honest. None of us are at the place that we need to be when it comes to our spiritual maturity in Christ. It can be easy to go and walk around the block, right? And if you've walked around the block enough times in your life, there's really not any more growth that's happening. It could have been hard, right? Maybe the first time you did it and you were a little bit out of breath. but now you've been doing that same walk for 20 years, and it's really not a challenge anymore. There's not really any growth anymore. And that can happen to us spiritually, where we just become complacent, where we just kind of go through the motions. We're doing what we've always done. We're not pushing ourselves. Our faith is not being tested. We're avoiding trouble at all costs. And the Bible is telling us that we're missing out on our spiritual growth. The way for us to get there, James is saying, is he's painting this picture for them that the end result of their troubles will be spiritual maturity. That's the prize. That's what we need to hold on to. And so how do we take some application out of this verse and say, look, if the observation is here, is that James is telling them to keep their eye on the prize, to think about spiritual maturity, looking more like Jesus, shedding off all the things in my life that are immature so that I can instead pull close the things that are of the Lord, then probably the thing that I need to do is I need to pray and ask the Lord what it is that I need to change in my life. What are my blind spots that I don't see? How am I responding to things immaturely, poorly, like a spiritual baby? And how instead can I keep my eye on the prize of spiritual maturity and see the things that are coming? And how, even in the little troubles of life, can I change my attitude so that I can get some gain, so that I can grow out of the situation that I'm in? If you will do that, God will give the increase. It's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. Sometimes it's embarrassing to realize how immature we've been. Sometimes it's tough to go and apologize to somebody and say, the way I reacted to you was, it was immature. It was not right. And I need to let that go and ask for your apology for your forgiveness, because I acted out in this way and I want to be a person that grows up. Every single thing, that person at your work that rubs you the wrong way, it's not how I wanted it to go, but I'm joyful for the chance to grow, right? For that losing your job, a little bit harder to say, not how I wanted it to go. Joyful for the chance to grow. And begin to put that on auto repeat and say, that relationship came to an end. Man, not how I wanted it to go. Not the script that I was writing. But we're always going to write the script that's easy, that goes the way that we want it to go, and not the one where it's tough things coming down the pike and forcing us to reevaluate the life we're living and the person that we are. Let me challenge you. Take the commitment this month to grow up. To grow up, to be in God's Word, to go through the book of James verse by verse and put yourself under the microscope. And then as situations from the outside come your way, to run them through that filter and say, this is how I used to respond. That old person is leaving. I want to pass this test, and I'm going to receive this trouble as an opportunity for growth, and I'm going to thank God for it. I don't know how many times we've gotten down on our knees and said, Lord, thank you for all the trouble in my life. But it might be a good thing to try out. List out all the problems you don't like, right? One of my encouragements was going to be, list all of the things that you're thankful for or joyful for. Nah, forget that. Write down all the things you're not happy about, all right? All the things that tick you off. All your pet peeves. Do it. You know what will happen? You'll begin to see how immature you are. To go, that's what ticks me off. That's what pushes my buttons. That's what I brag about. I can't stand it when people fill in the blank. I can't stand it. And then pray that and say, Lord, how can I use that for joy? Lord, how can I see that differently? And instead of getting caught up on that tiniest little speed bump, how can I become a bigger, better, spiritually mature person who realizes that I've been forgiven so much, and by the grace of God, I can become an adult in Christ, and I don't have to stay a spiritual baby forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much.